Okay, so we're doing something new. We're adding something a little bit this week. What we're going to start doing each week is just having somebody come up and share the gospel from their perspective, and it'll be different each week. You know, sharing Jesus isn't the same for each person. And so Robin is up.
So interesting. I've been a Christian a long time and never really thought about having the gospel necessarily on hand to explain to somebody. So this was like, the first story that I thought of, if somebody, you know, for somebody that hasn't been churched and just looking for Jesus, I think of the story of Zacchaeus. And I'm going to read that to you. It's super short. But I think I got to take my glasses off because, you know, I can't see. Okay. So it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore. It says a sycamore fig tree, to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached that spot, he looked up to him. So here was something very cool. So, hold on, you know when there's pressure. I wrote a few things down. Jesus, he came to seek and save the lost, right? And so Zacchaeus is in this tree just hoping to see Jesus, but Jesus meets his gaze, and he was looking for him. So that's what's so cool about this, is like, oh my gosh, Jesus is looking for you. It's not happenstance. He's looking for you. His eyes are turned towards you. And just being in Jesus's presence, look what happens to him. Okay. He says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. So Jesus is not a respecter of persons. He loves everybody. He died for everybody. So Zacchaeus, Jesus went to his house and ate with him. And as he was in Jesus' presence, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And so, let me see what else I wrote here. So what is lost? Lost is not living with who or what you were created for. What is found? Found is you have been brought back to God. He knows you, he made you, and he loves you. And Jesus, he was on a rescue mission when he was on the earth. So he can save you. He's been looking for you. Romans 1, we're going to read Romans 1:16. See, this is why I need readers. Okay, here it is. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And then Romans 12:1-10. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves as more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. So that is just, it's just a story about how, you know, of how God, he's looking for you. He loves you. He wants to restore you. Ephesians. Let's see. Ephesians 6, 3, 6, verse 6 through 11. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and share together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which was for ages past, it was kept hidden in God. So something that was, let's see if I read the, it says, hold on a second. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So, you know, by you and me, when we share the gospel, we are announcing to the unseen realm, hey, Jesus's victory was complete on the cross, and he loves you, and he wants you in his family. So I thought that verse gave me goosebumps, you know, that, you know, it's an announcement. So us gathering here today, being part of one family, being part of the body of Christ, that's our job, to announce to the unseen realm, hey, rulers, principalities, back out, because this is Jesus's world now. So that's my 5-minute gospel.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? What was your Ephesians, what?
Ephesians 3, 6 through 11.
Okay, so I'm going to be going over Acts 14 and some other stuff. I'm going to read through the chapter for the sake of the podcast and then go back and touch on some spots and talk about Paul. Paul is our great example. So let's start. Acts 14:1. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and promised and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. So in Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men." human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all the nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowds from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. I'm going to pause there for just a second because it's Palm Sunday, and this kind of mirrors what happened. Palm Sunday, Jesus comes into Jerusalem as their hero. They laid palm branches in front of him. They laid their clothes down in front of him. They shouted, "Hosanna, glory to God in the highest." And they were calling him their savior. And yet 1 week later, they crucified him. Well, here, the apostles, they're calling them Zeus and Hermes and wanting to offer sacrifices to them. And in a short matter of time, they stone Paul. He's done. And so, I mean, that's just kind of the way people go. When the enemy gets a hold of them, things can turn sour. But he doesn't understand how his plans don't match up to what God wants. And so it always turns crazy, because when Paul decided to get up after being stoned to death, he got up and went back into the city. And so he's telling them, "Hey, you know what? Here I am. Your plans failed, and God's plans prevail." So verse 21, they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. This is in Derbe. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, you know, where he was stoned. They return again. I mean, it's like they're thumbing their nose at him, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Okay, so that's chapter 14. I'm kind of going along with this a little bit, but the Lord just pressed on my heart about Paul being our prime example. Now, I mean, we all can agree that Jesus is our example. We, you know, what he did, we should do. You know, what would Jesus do? I don't really. But the thing is people make excuses. People say, "Oh, well, you know, he was the Son of God. I'm only human." But Paul, on the other hand, well, let's go to Ephesians 3, 6, where Robin was just at. And Paul, in verse 8, he says, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So right there, he lays out that he is the least of all the saints. Any one of us here, Paul is less than, according to him. Back in Acts 14, when they were going to sacrifice to Paul, Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. So, I'm only human. Well, Paul is saying, I'm human like you. Even though he's able to, you know, get up from being stoned. Well, I think Paul knew when it was that his time was going to come. And stoning, shipwrecks, and all that kind of stuff didn't stop it. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians 11. If my phone will work for me here. First Corinthians 11:1, Paul just says flat out, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so we have a directive, and he's not saying go and be like Christ necessarily. I mean, he's pulling a bait and switch here. He's saying be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So, you know, it's not saying that Jesus isn't our example, but Paul is just eliminating any excuse to have a prime example of who we should be in Christ. So what does it mean to follow Paul's example? Well, there's a couple things in Acts 14. There's a lot of things. You know, Paul stayed committed amidst adversity. Again, he was stoned. And yet he got up and continued to preach the good news. And I wanted to grab a rock because just so we could kind of get in our minds what it's like, what being stoned meant. And it wasn't like they were throwing pebbles at him. You know, they picked up rocks that, you know, some would be nearly the size of your head, and they crushed him. They crushed his body. And even so, he continued on. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 23. He says, I have far more imprisonments with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me from my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? Okay, I don't know how to say that word. Indignant. Yeah. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Paul, through all these things, continued on. He used, they were almost badges. But he used them to justify who he, you know, his right to speak. Okay, also, Paul was not a lone ranger. I mean, we speak of Paul a lot. I'm speaking of him as our prime example, but he didn't go alone. It says that Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue, as usual, which means this wasn't just one time. They didn't just go one time into the synagogue and preach, but it was something that they did regularly. And it was something that they did regularly together. In chapter 15, 36, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. So Paul and Barnabas, they stuck together for a while, but even they had disagreements and they ended up parting ways. And when they did part ways, Paul didn't opt to decide to go it alone at that time. He ended up picking somebody else up and taking him along. He chose Silas and he continued on. And then in chapter 16, Timothy joins Paul and Silas. So he's going to all these places as he's, you know, I mean, I don't know the time frame of his life, but I know that he's aging through these different missionary trips. And so he's got, he has people with him all the time. And then lastly, Paul was a gospel preacher. Paul had one mission, and that was to reveal Jesus to everyone, but he was sent to the Gentiles. Peter ended up being sent to the Jews. Paul was sent to the Gentiles, and his mission, and he used his knowledge of the Old Testament to reveal Jesus through you know, historical prophecies, and he was a gospel preacher. And so not to say that we are to be gospel preachers, but we should be gospel revealers. You know, our life should reveal Christ to those around us. And it's not just like being goody two shoes or something like that, but it's being the prime example to those around us. If, I mean, it carries over. If Paul is our prime example and we follow him as an example, we become the prime example to somebody else. And so, that's what I have. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for your hand on your word that's gone out today. And, Lord, I just seal it in the hearts of those here and those that will be listening online. I thank you for your presence in our lives and you revealing Paul as an example to us so that we have something that our minds can actually grasp. And, Lord, I just pray that you would enable us to step into the mission of being a prime example to someone else. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.